Where is he?
Where are you?
Skull Rock. Do you know it?
Hello, this is Stacy over at the Skull Rock broadcast. I am joined by...
Hello, this is Megan. Welcome back to our Stranger Things podcast. We are happy to be with you today and super excited for our episode. So how's it going, Stacy?
It's going pretty good, fighting for my life with a cold. But I have to say, I'm doing a little bit better because what just happened?
Literally just now, right before we hit record, we got a new little teaser for Joe Time's new music. I mean, I'm assuming that's what it is because we got one earlier in the week as well. So that just absolutely brightened our Sunday.
It did.
Our sunshine, Joe. Real quick, talk to me about the teaser that came out earlier this week. So it was Tuesday evening, I think,
yes,
that it came out.
Yes. It was apparently filmed in the Paramount backlot, and it's basically like, I think it's like less than 20 seconds, but it's Joe walking down a street and he walks up to what looks like an old theater, and there's this marquee that's all lit up and it says Basic Being Basic, January 24th. And there's some cool like little synth sounds in the background. And people are guessing either that's the name of a single, a song that's going to be coming out, or an album. But as soon as that hit, all of our little antennas went up. But this teaser today, could you explain what we just witnessed?
I am still kind of like in shock and can't stop laughing and smiling about it. But it was just Joe in a crowd of people walking by, and there were little like subtitles at the bottom. So it started saying like, slowly zoom in. So the camera was zooming into him and you started to be able to see him as the people parted. And then it said like, keep zooming. And then it said stop. But then it was like gulp. And Joe's just face is just like, it seems like he's trying to just smile, but then he gulps and then it says robber sneaks by and he like starts to laugh. And then it says like to zoom back out and right there. And then it ends. And I have no idea what it is. Like,
it's perfection. That's what it is.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It just made me smile so much. But you did hear a little bit more music.
Yes.
In this teaser. And it sounds so cool and so fun.
Right?
I'm super excited. Yeah. So I wonder if that's the new song. Is that Basic Being Basic?
I'm wondering. It's a little synthy. I mean, sounded like an organ maybe playing. Like, pretty cool.
Yeah. So we still don't know if Basic Being Basic is the first single on the new album or if that is the album, the whole album that we're getting that day. I'm leaning more towards a single, but we do think that maybe some of those like posters and signs and things in the first teaser could have been clues. There was like the Crux was like the name of like a business on the street that, mm-hmm. that they had named. Like it was a set, like you said. So everything that was showing up in the video was purposefully put there. So is that the name of the album? We don't know.
You know what? I'm gonna make a prediction, and this is gonna show how I should never put money down on anything. As he walks by, remember, like, a lot of people thought he waved, but really he's given the okay sign. What if the name of the album is Okay Crocs?
Okay.
The look on Megan's face, everyone. Yep, that just showed you. I'm like, I would stake my entire life on it. And Megan's like, yeah, well, okay, sure.
Yeah. So that was delightful. So we're super excited. He cleared out the rest of his Instagram.
Yep.
So the Decide era is officially over. And he's no longer wearing like the wig and like that persona that he sort of like portrayed.
That's out
as
of the bag,
Joe.
Man.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun. I am like, I'm happy that he's keeping Joe, though, because I was curious if he was going to release this album you know, under his actual name, Jokiri. Mm-hmm. I guess we still could find out like whether he decides to go that route or not. But
yeah. Super fun. And it was very fun, guys, watching because Megan had to run out to let her dog in. And when it dropped, I saw it on Instagram. So as soon as she sat down, I was like, Megan. So I got to watch her live reaction watching that. And that was a lot of fun, guys. So it's the little things, you know?
Yeah, that was so much fun. So now we're even more excited about starting our episode. Good thing we did not start recording 5 minutes earlier, because then we would have been recording this and not actually watching the video when it came out. So
for real.
Perfect timing. And what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about season 2, episode 8, The Mind Flayer.
Yeah, this is a cool, cool episode. So I'm super excited to talk about it. And I mean, do you want to just jump right in?
Let's do this. Let's light this candle. So we open with a slow motion shot of the Demodogs crawling up and breaking through the glass at Hopper and Owens. Alarm is sounded. And Mike tells that they're too late and that we're under attack. As someone who has anxiety, a child screaming that as an alarm is going off. Like, God forbid there's ever a fire alarm at my school. And the kid's going, we're too late. I'm going to be like, everybody for So, oh, man. But Owens and Hopper, as well as the other lab workers, run. Which, you know what? Good for them. The people that stick around to see, like, can you make it through the glass? I'm sorry. Absolutely not. Yeah. But it's a massacre. And the Demodogs are on the loose. It's supper time.
Yeah, the shot of the scientist that got into the elevator getting like eaten was one of the more graphic, like violent scenes, I think, in the show. But then Mike says that they need to make Will sleep. So he's quick thinking, this kid.
Would have never thought of this.
Mike was actually impressing me a lot in this whole episode because he had a lot of like good ideas, and you could tell that he was really concerned about his friend. So he knew that Will was a spy, that this monster could see through Will and knew where they were. Yeah. Bob holds Will down and Joyce gives him like the shot to make him pass out.
And that was like the equivalent of 3 bottles of ZQL. He was out.
Yeah, he was out. But the shot of like Mike covering his ears and looking so distraught because Will was so upset, that was like kind of stuck out to me too. And,
you know, great acting, but the mind flare possessed Will. Like, I love it when Joyce goes, who am I? And this fucking monster is like, your mom. And I'm like, I would have been like, sleeper hold. Like, there would have been some Stone Cold Steve Austin action going on. They're like, Stacey, you're actually just strangling him. You're not making him pass out. But no, that was very intense.
Luckily, Hopper and Owens arrived just at that moment. And they're like, we got to go. And Hopper carries Will. And I was really trying hard because I guess it was Joyce. I couldn't really tell who grabbed, like, the stuff off the counter.
It happened so quick. I think it happened was Mike so quick. Or Joyce.
It was either Mike or Joyce. And I actually like did hit rewind and tried to see who it was again, but I was like smart because then they had it later when they needed it in the episode. So that was
that
like
comes
little
in handy next episode as well.
Yeah.
Wink.
Yeah.
Wink.
So okay. this Oh, yeah. I just remembered what you were talking about.
You're like, okay, Stacey.
My brain took a little while to like catch up on that one. But if your brain still isn't there, Billy.
Billy, everyone. Billy.
They're in this room and this whole scene, you're going to laugh at me, but they're like, they see a screen of monitors and it's showing all of the attacks and the power goes out. And that's the credits. So just a quick little connection here because I don't want to forget to say it, but the whole looking at the screens and then being on the radio and trying to get out of the lab, of course, I'm like sitting here watching this, like, this is very Star Wars coded. So I was thinking of when they're on the Death Star and like the droids are trying to like, you know, help them get out. And it was really, it was uncanny because then you posted that thing on your story about nachos. So I really wanted nachos and I ordered nachos. And I'm like, what am I going to watch while I eat these nachos?
What would Megan watch? Yep.
But no, Stacey, I turned on my television and it was on that scene.
That's weird.
It was like TBS because I watch Big Bang Theory on TBS all the time. So I just turned on the TV and there it was, that exact scene that I had been thinking about while I was watching this episode earlier in the day. So I was like, this is so weird, but it's like my favorite.
Going, everything is all right here. Yeah. How's it going with you guys?
Exactly. And that's like one of my favorite scenes in A New Hope, of like them rescuing Leia and then needing to like go down into the garbage chute and like, I don't know. It's so funny, but okay.
Your Star Wars nerd joy just on her face.
That was like my perfect day yesterday. So
nachos and Star Wars, guys.
Then we went into, after the credits, we're at the Hargrove house, which,
yeah,
were you doing the same thing as me and trying to figure out where they were? Because that did not look like
it's supposed to be the back of the house.
Right. So that's what I figured. So it was the back. But the street, actually, that they're coming down did remind me of that street we drove down.
Yeah, like, I think they probably pulled some movie magic because, yeah, right away I was like, wait a second. Huh. But that's the back entrance. And I do like the shot that it, like, very reminiscent of the very first shot of the entire series, the starlit sky,
yeah,
coming down. And you see Neil and Susan, that's Max's mom, come inside after doing some shopping. And Susan sees Max's broken skateboard.
Yeah, in her room. So she's gone. I like their Sears bag.
Her Sears bag. So, you know, maybe they got themselves an answering machine. I don't know. Blender. Who knows? You can get anything at Sears. Are Sears even still open now?
So we had one in our mall until very recently, but I'm pretty sure it's now closed.
And I just remember my dad was like, you could buy a gun there or a chair or a shirt. And I'm like,
yeah, I mean, they still sold like tools, like a Home Depot section. Like they sold everything, like vacuum cleaners. Like, yeah, I bought my first vacuum cleaner from Sears.
Memories. Maybe they got a little dustbuster. I know those were all the rage back in the 80s. So, you know, they got their dustbuster on and they see the windows open and it cuts to Billy getting ready to Metallica's The Four Horsemen.
Yeah, I looked up that song because I didn't know it, but
it's a good one. It's a good one of theirs. And I feel this is the ultimate fuckboy tutorial of getting ready. Like, I absolutely love the shot of the cologne going down the pants.
Yeah.
Classy. So hot. Classy. So hot. And him just wiggling his little ass. And it's just like, and him like looking in the mirror and stuff. It's just like, it's so hot, but it's so tool baggish. And Neil pounds on the door and both Susan and him demand to know where Max is. And here we kind of get a very raw, uncomfortable glimpse into Billy's home life.
Yeah. And did you mention in the past that like Dacre wanted this scene or something, yeah, similar to this scene? I think that that was part of it because we needed a little bit more backstory of why Billy was the way he was. And like we've said before, we did a whole episode, Rocky Like a Hurricane, about Billy, which was a fun episode, but it does not excuse his racist, no, like, awful, bully, like, terrible person that he is at all. But it does give you a little context for...
Kind of shows where the anger issues come from, why Max is kind of almost like, you know, even if the things aren't being directly done to her, she is witnessing these things. Because as you notice, Susan kind of grimaces when Billy gets slapped, but she doesn't intervene really. And here we kind of see, like, you know, he calls him a slur, you know, he tells him to cancel his date, you know, he does the whole like respect and responsibility thing. And Dacre, I really gotta hand it to him. he is one hell of an actor, because just as soon as, you know, Neil and Susan leave, he just the shot of him, like, I think it's like him pulling a ring off or something, and him just like near tears because he's just so angry and humiliated and embarrassed and pissed off. It's an uncomfortable, but it's a very necessary scene, you know? So yeah. I liked that they definitely included that, because now he's got to go find Max. And
right.
We cut to Max.
Yeah. So we cut to Max, and I liked because it was like straight from Billy being told to go find Max. And then we see Max, and Max is walking in between Lucas and her new big brother.
I know. Like, literally, don't worry, Susan and Neil. She's in the safest hands possible.
I just have to, like, tell, I just have to say this. This episode confirmed for me, I'm sure the next episode will as well, but my whole thing I've been saying all of season two, that season two, Steve is my favorite. And
oh my God.
He looks like so good in this whole episode.
I took a moment, especially in this scene. The hair was on point, the members only jacket, and even the lighting, that night lighting, it's just beautiful. But he just looks so good. And I love that they're walking still down the train tracks. And what are they talking about?
So Dustin and the others are talking about how Dart molted and grew bigger. And so he's kind of filling Lucas and Max in on what happened to him. And then Steve lets the cat out of the bag, literally.
Lets the muse out of the grave.
So Steve's like, yeah, he's going to get bigger and eat more than just cats. So he tells everyone that Dart ate Muse, which Dustin was sort of trying to keep a secret because he wasn't supposed to still have Dart. Like, they thought Dart was missing and Dustin had kept him. So Lucas confronts him about that and they all discover that he kind of lied, which they're fighting, and like Dustin is kind of saying, well, we're even because you told Max like you weren't supposed to do that. So Steve calls for their attention, and like he looked so good in this scene, like,
ooh.
But there's noises coming, and we find out that they're from the lab. But like you said, the lighting and just the cinematography of this scene mm-hmm. was like beautiful, because they all like kind of go over, and then it's just like focused on Max in the middle of the train tracks, and the light on her is so beautiful, but she's the only one who's like the voice of reason, like, why are we going towards the noises?
Like, he would survive a horror movie. Yep.
Yeah. But it is coming from the lab, and then we cut back to the lab.
And she's going down.
You know, trying to escape from the Death Star.
Yeah. Oh my God, Megan. Back at the lab, the Demodogs are running wild. Using flashlights, Owens uses a map of the lab and shows the closest way out. But since there is a power outage, the entire building via Jurassic Park goes into full lockdown, meaning the doors won't open. And Hopper goes to head down to the basement to reset the breakers. And I love that Bob stops him, and he basically is like, you don't know the system. And he's like, what do you mean? He goes, you don't know BASIC. That's the computer like system to reboot it. And he's like, well, then teach it to me. That kills me. When he's like, why did I teach you like a little French or some German, you know? How about it, Jim? So clearly he's the only one that needs to do it. And like this moment kind of like just ripped my heart out, because we all know what's gonna fucking happen. But Bob knows he's the only one that can do it, and he comforts Joyce, and he reminds her, Bob Newbery, superhero.
Newbie, but yeah.
God damn it! That would have landed so good if I had gotten the last name right.
Yeah, he's comforting Joyce and says to remember that. But like you said, this whole episode and everything with Bob is so fucking hard to watch, and like knowing what happened, and like I can't remember obviously the emotions the first time I watched it because it was a long time ago, but
2017 baby.
Just like trying to imagine the first time you watched this, and like hoping beyond hope that it's all going to work out. And just the fact that they do this to us, like,
I'm sorry, you don't off Sean Astin in anything.
And
in
his anything. Acting in this whole like sequence and this whole episode is just so good. Like,
and it's realistic because you actually see how scared he is.
Yes. His facial expressions and just like how scared and how like determined and selfless he is. Like, it's very powerful. But they kind of grab like a soldier or a dead body, take some stuff from it, the badge and the walkie, and the
and Jim hands him a gun too.
Right. So he asks Bob if he can use it, and then he kind of gives him a little quick tutorial. But it's funny because he asks someone else later if he can use a gun. So it was like two times in the same episode that he like offers someone a gun and asks if they can use it, which I want to talk about that scene because it was really great later.
So
but
good.
Bob tells him not to wait for him.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. That was tough. The transition here, I love sometimes just noticing the transitions that they do. So it was mm-hmm. like a flashlight beam and
yes.
it cuts to like the headlights of the car, which I thought was really cool. So
I love transitions like that because it adds a little, and it sometimes goes unnoticed, but it's those little extra flares of creativity that I think really shows how amazing this, you know, cast and crew are, especially the crew with the, you know, director, cinematographer. Like, it just really, that extra mile goes the extra mile. Okay, Stacey.
Yeah, it just adds that extra.
Wow, meds are like kicking in, guys. That extra mile goes that extra mile. Put that on a t-shirt.
So who's in the car pulling up at the lab?
Well. This is Jonathan and Nancy. They pull up to find the lab dark, and they try the gate, but it won't open. And Nancy hears something in the woods when they get out to investigate. And they, like, kind of go over to the, like, wood, the tree line. And this was just such a great moment.
It's amazing.
Suddenly out walks the kids and Steve, and I love their reaction at the same time.
Steve!
Busted! And they hear the monsters growling from inside the lab.
They're trying to open, Jonathan is hitting the button, which this also reminds me of Steve with the light switch in season 3. But
yeah.
Then Dustin's like, let me try it. And he's trying to open it. But back in the lab, Bob has thrown the breaker switches. So the power is back on. So I guess they're trying to open the gate, but it's still locked. And so then we cut back and forth between like inside the lab and at the gate, because then Bob gets into the computer, he locks all the doors and the gate, and then I like Justin like, oh, I got it.
Yep. Perfect. so good. Let's see. Yeah. And then like Owen sees the demodogs kind of like blocking the stairwells, and he's like, hang on a second, because he's kind of monitoring by the surveillance cameras. And I like that Bob was this creative that he triggered the sprinkler system to like, because apparently they don't like water, and it got them to kind of clear the way. So I like that he knew enough to do stuff like that. And I love how like tickled pink, like Owen is over it.
Yeah. But then he walks away and he leaves his gun. So
leaves the gun, man. Leaves the goddamn gun. As soon as you see it, like, and like, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But just the way they like, it kind of like the shot holds on the gun a little longer left on the counter. You're like, oh no, don't forget that. That's kind of important. So Owen sees the demodog coming, just looking like Quinn getting ready for dinner. And he tells him, hide in this closet as it approaches. And once it passes, Owens tells him, all right, got a pretty clear shot to the door. And I love Sean Astin's acting in this exact moment. He looks fucking scared to death and just shaking, you know, like, and unable to get his breathing under control. And he accidentally knocks a broom over, and a demodog starts chasing him, and he fucking books it to the main lobby where Joyce is waiting for him because they've just gotten out the main doors. And what happens, Megan?
Why do you have to make me say it?
I'm making you say it.
So he sees Joyce the emotion on his face. You can see how relieved he is. And then the viewer were like, oh, he made it. And only for another demodog to just like come out of nowhere, like take him down. And Hopper's trying to shoot it, but then more come and they have to leave. And it's really heartbreaking.
It's like a bummer. And they attack almost like raptors via Jurassic Park, like not from the front, but from the sides. Never forget. And literally just how it goes into slow motion and Hopper is literally like fighting. And Joyce is like a teeny tiny little thing, but her like just screams trying to fight him to get to Bob and him just pulling her away and just him like finally having to say it like he's gone. But they, you know, end up getting out and just Jonathan comes through with the car.
Yeah.
And the group jumps in between Jonathan's car and Hopper's truck. And then there's that haunting fucking pullback shot.
Right. It's way too long.
It goes on way too long.
It's so long. It's just the demodogs eating Bob. Like, it's like, why do we need this 10 seconds or however long it was? Like, yeah, it seemed like
I'm a gore hound as it is. But when it comes to Sean Astin, the angel placed on earth for all of us, I'm sorry, I don't need to see him eaten alive. And it's so goddamn sad. And I'm sorry, like Hopper earlier tried to use an assault rifle on those things and it didn't even slow them down. So you're like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But a sprinkler, apparently, they don't like.
I did kind of like, and I wish we had
super sober.
I wish we had seen more of this, but like, I liked when Hopper pulls up to the gate and says, get in, like Steve, like shepherds all of the kids into the back. And then Steve actually gets in the front seat with Hopper, which we never really get a lot of interaction between the two of them. So it's like, this is kind of like knowing that like he was actually riding in the front seat with Hopper in this scene. Like, it's like, oh, I guess they interacted a little bit more.
Yeah. Cause like, I'm trying to like really scratch my brain. I don't think the two of them ever share dialogue directly.
Like, no, like speak to each other. I don't think so. Because like they're together in this whole sequence. They're together like at the mall. And you know that Hopper gives him the keys at the mall, like to Todd take Father. That car.
Yep.
But like you never actually like kind of get to see them talk to each other, which is a bummer.
That's interesting because everybody always harps on the fact that Will and Steve have never actually exchanged words. I really don't think they've directly actually spoken to each other. Listeners, if we're wrong, let us know.
At the Byers house, Will is unconscious on the couch, and this scene, first of all, the choreography in this scene was really cool, I thought. And like the camera work too, but just like the way that all the actors are moving around in the space.
Yeah, the blocking, yeah.
Yeah, so Will is unconscious on the couch. Jonathan is talking to him and kind of like apologizing for not being there.
Sorry, I got laid.
Yeah.
Continue.
Nancy is behind Jonathan with a hand on his shoulder. And then we see Steve watching.
Yeah.
And kind of like walking away. And he looks so dejected. But Hopper's on the phone, like trying to call like the government, I guess.
I literally in my notes I went government? Military? ?
Yeah. I mean, it's similar to like in season 4 where they're trying to like call and get help, but
antique chariot.
Yeah. But Hopper tells them all that they need to stay there and wait for help. But I love how like the boys are like arguing with him. Like, and Hopper kind of just like walks away, goes to check on Joyce. And this was very emotional too.
This, like, not to get too deep, but like just first of all, the music that's playing. And
it's called Eulogy.
Eulogy. I'm going to have to add that to my Spotify playlist. Literally, like, he comes into Joyce's bedroom and she's sitting on the bed with a blanket over her shoulders, clearly having just witness this horrific loss, her boyfriend getting eaten alive. And Hopper just sits on the floor across from her and both say nothing. And it's almost like Hopper knew not to sit on the bed, not to put his arm around her, not to even say anything. Because sometimes when somebody is either that deep in grief or that deep in shock, that's all they need. They just need company. So I love that he knew enough just to be another person in the room. And it just makes you love Hopper even more, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's Eulogy from the score is like playing as like through this whole sequence. But it's, and like, I looked that up because it was so like good.
Yeah, right.
But Dustin is kind of talking, and this is the first time I think that anybody says Demodog, and like Max like questions
Demodog.
It.
Dog.
Yeah.
Demodog.
Like
yeah.
A compound.
Yeah.
What he says. But then I thought this was another like nice Mike moment, because he notices the games that Bob, the games and puzzles that Bob had brought over for Will. And he tells everyone that like Bob was actually the founder of the Hawkins AV Club, and that Mr. Clark learned everything from him, or that was funny. But he explains kind of the connection. Well, he says like we can't let him die in vain. Yeah. But he also kind of explains to everyone the connection that Will has to this like shadow monster and the hive mind. So then Dustin makes like the D&D connection to this creature called the Mind Flayer. So this is also the first time that we get somebody calling this shadow monster the Mind Flayer, because kind of that's kind of what we call it, but like this is the first time that that kind of connection has been introduced in this episode. And they're kind of talking about how it's like an entity that wants to just take over, and a lot of this stuff it makes me curious of like how it's going to connect to season 5, and like whether, because do you remember when they were like, well, Hopper's like, how do we kill it, like fireballs, and Justin's like, no, not fireballs. You summon an undead army, because like zombies don't have brains, so they can't like be influenced by the Mind Flayer. And then he kind of just trails off, and he's like, I don't know, it's just a game. But like, I always like latch on to that comment, because like maybe that's what they have to do in season 5, is like summon this undead army
to defeat
Mind Flayer.
God. And I think you're picking up what I'm about to throw down. If somehow they use Eddie, who's dead, to somehow be the final nail in the coffin to kill Vecna because he's dead, nope, mic drop, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, and maybe some of the other characters who died would come back too. Bob, Barb, Chrissy, Billy. Like,
guys, goosebumps. Like, literally, could you effing imagine?
Woo! Yeah, yeah.
You heard it here first, kids.
And Steve's little, like, freak out moment where he's like, that's great. Jesus, that's great. all of us.
Yep.
But Hopper is so flustered by the boys. But then Joyce comes out and kind of, like, backs them up. She's like, they're right, we have to try to kill it, like I want to kill it. And then again, Mike, super brain today, is like, well, Will would know the weaknesses. So like Mike is kind of like the only one like coming up with any ideas.
Yeah, like, the rest of them are all spitballing at this point. So I am proud of him. Like, I give him a lot of crap, but he has been through a lot. And if it wasn't for him, they would have been dead in the lab in this episode. So I have to really hand it to him. And that's kind of when they come up with the idea that, you know, Mike goes, you know, Will won't be able to spy. He doesn't know where he is. And that's kind of ingenious. So Hopper thinks the tool shed would be perfect. And there's this really cool montage of them working on cleaning it out, which, man, there's a lot of shit in that shed. And Steve and Nancy, they're using tarps to cover the windows. And Nancy remarks that it was cool. Steve helped with the kids. And clearly, there's some awkward tension. There's an elephant in the shed versus the room that they have not quite addressed yet. And Steve is just, you know, kind of, you know, yeah, those little shits, they're a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
you know?
But you can also tell he's like kind of glowing a little bit with her praise. Like,
yeah,
he's like kind of excited that she's like talking to him and being nice to him, which just makes me like so heartbroken, like, because he's just like the best. Like,
hope it's worth it, Nancy. So Dustin apologizes while he's, you know, looking for like heaters and stuff with Lucas in the like junk pile. And he apologizes about Dart and says that he's sorry he broke the rule of law, and he'll understand if Lucas wants him out of the party and have his girlfriend take his place. And Lucas claims that Max isn't his girlfriend, but I love that Dustin says that he could feel the electricity between them, just like how Steve in a previous episode had kind of given him a talk about.
Yeah. And then we get a little like Mad Wheeler moment here. Yep. I know we've talked about Max and Mike and how they're kind of like an underrated duo, but they kind of continue their little like rivalry kind of in this moment. But I really hope that the two of them will end up more friends. And we've talked about in season four how it seems like they are a little bit closer, like when Max went to the pep rally with Dustin and Mike. But Max tells Mike that Lucas told her about Elle and that she understands why she was their mage. And Mike is just kind of like a little, like, I mean, he's going through a lot right now. Like,
you know what? There's some turd energy being thrown. There's some
but he's
thing.
Like, well, Lucas shouldn't have. And it doesn't mean that she's in the party. So she said she understands, but she just basically wants to tell him that Elle seemed like she was really cool. And Mike's like, well, yeah, she was until that thing took her, like it took Bob. So he's just kind of like, you know, expressing that frustration, sort of taking it out on the wrong person, because Max is just, you know, she's innocent in this situation.
Yeah.
But everyone's just kind of working together. And I liked Steve was helping Max and Dustin. Nancy and Mike were working side by side. Like that whole little like montage of them working and finishing up, like getting the shed ready. But then Hopper carries Will out and they wake him up with like the bleach.
Pneumonia and bleach.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. And this is where, and I know I brought this up to you before, anytime he's possessed by the Mind Flayer, instead of having his usual, like, I think Noah really has greenish eyes, they're dark brown. So you see them kind of like, you know, super dilated and super dark and super brown. So he's confused at first. He starts freaking out, asking, why am I tied up? And starts, you know, kind of getting a little hysterical. And Joyce and Hopper talk to him. And, you know, as he's freaking out, the lights start to flicker. And Hopper holds him as he keeps yelling to be let go. And once he calms down, Joyce sits across from him and asks, does he know what the date March 22nd is?
Yeah.
Sounds like a great date to go roller skating, if you ask me.
Yeah. So in season four, if for some reason you haven't heard of this, like when they go to Rinkorama, the video camera has a date on it and you can see that it was March 22nd, which is supposedly Will's birthday. So it's kind of a thing about like, did they forget about Will's birthday? It like wasn't acknowledged. Like, so poor guy.
Very John Hughes of the Duffer Brothers, if that's the one they want. But Joyce tells him when he turned 8, he got a huge box of crayons. Now his friends got him his Star Wars toys. There you go, Megan. But all he wanted to do was draw with his colors, and how he made a spaceship and he called it a rainbow ship and used every color in the box. And how Joyce hung it up at work and how she told everyone who came in that her son drew that and how proud she was. And Winona, like, what a great actress. Like,
yeah.
I love how the emotion in her voice and how her, like, her voice kind of starts to break up a little bit as she's, like, recalling this really, really nice memory.
Yeah, I thought the rainbow ship thing was interesting, though, because, like, the connection to, like, the rainbow room and, like, maybe Will kind of, like, is special, like the kids in the rainbow room. Like, does Will have powers? Just rainbows have been like a theme in the show.
Yeah,
for sure.
Big time.
So Jonathan also talks to Will, and this was also kind of powerful because you get a little context to their backstory because apparently they built Castle Byers the night that their dad left. So that was probably a very upsetting time, but he said that they built it just the way Will had drawn it. So it's interesting because we do know in season five that we're going to get more Castle Byers like moments. And that was where he hid when he was in the Upside Down. So it was someplace that he had drawn. And then he and Jonathan built it together to kind of like give them a safe place like after Lonnie left. So that was kind of an interesting like, I think that these things might kind of have some significance later. Yeah. All three of these, like the spaceship with the rainbow colors, like Castle Byers with Jonathan, and then what Mike talks about too.
Yeah.
So,
because Mike, he then says, does he remember the day that they met, which was the first day of kindergarten, how Mike knew nobody, and how when he saw Will alone on the swings, how they became friends, and that was the best thing he ever could have done, was becoming friends with him. And Joyce is begging him to remember. And Hopper then notices Will, tap, tap, tap it in, Morse code. And, you know, there we go, Morse code, which, you know, does SOS count? Does it? and I love that this montage starts with the clashes. Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah. So everybody inside had just been kind of hanging out and waiting, which Steve was like taking some practice swings on his bat, which I'm going to bring that up later in our secret segment. But then they kind of like get involved because they realize that he's doing Morse code, and Jonathan gets the radio. He puts on the Clash, and then they keep talking to Will as Hopper monitors and like does the walkie to show that he is spelling something out. And then we do find out that he spells out CLOSEGATE, close gate. But then the phone rings.
Then
this
goddamn
fucking phone.
Oh, I hate this phone.
But also, who was it, Stacy? Who was on the fucking phone?
And who felt the need to call twice in a row?
Well, I think it was the government calling back. Like, that's what I thought, because they were waiting for them to call back. But then Nancy just fucking rips it off the wall. So they don't get any help from the government.
Could you imagine just somebody looking at Gab and they're like, wow, fucking rude, you know?
Yeah, I just like love how I was like, what? They never answered this phone. And then when they do want like somebody to call, then they just, yeah.
She's going to get call waiting. She's going to get something, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know? But
yeah, the monster knows where they are because Will heard the phone.
I love that Steve's like, it could just be a random phone somewhere. And I'm like, I feel like you would know the sound of your telephone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You made that connection. But they all kind of like come inside, which is like, they're all kind of just like gathering together to try to like fend off the monsters that they know are coming, I guess. But like, they would have been massacred. Like,
they sedate Will immediately when they drag him in.
Yeah.
And you're completely right. They would have been massacred. And you can hear them almost like roaring and stuff from the background. And I love that Hopper, he asks, it's Jonathan, right? Do you know how to use this?
And then he is like, no, but Nancy, badass Wheeler, steps up and she's like, I can use it. So I really liked this whole scene. So they're all kind of like stood together. And I thought it was just interesting, like how, again, they blocked this. Like, so Steve has his bat. Nancy's got a gun. Hopper's got a gun. Lucas has his slingshot. And then Mike is holding like a trophy. I was thinking maybe it was like their science fair award.
I cannot.
But the pairings were cute too, because like Lucas is standing in front of Max, like protecting her. And then Hopper is in front of both of them. Steve is in front of Dustin. Jonathan is comforting his mom. And then Nancy is in front of Jonathan and his mom and in front of Mike. So I just thought that that was kind of cool, like how they were all standing together.
I love that.
Yeah.
And what comes crashing through the fucking window?
Well, a Demodog, which we were all like, you know, watching, like waiting for the monsters. crashed in and one does, but it's already dead.
Yeah, it's seen better days. And you see, very reminiscent of that first episode.
Yep.
The door unlocking slowly.
The little latch slides open and who walks in?
Well, slow motion, like the badass she is a very punk looking 11. And I have to say, the acting between Millie and Finn, like just the look of like shock on Mike's eyes. Elle looks fucking exhausted. She probably killed like a dozen of those fuckers. And just them looking at each other, but Mike and her lock eyes and smile, eyes full of tears, and then cut to black.
Yeah. Boom. But she's got her nose bleed too. So
yeah. She was using some powers, man.
Yeah. And it was a short episode. I was surprised when it was like already over. It was just over 40 minutes, not counting the credits. So it was a pretty short episode. The last episode is about an hour, but still not as long as
other
like,
ones,
some of our other, yeah, episodes. So that was pretty cool. It was a good episode, fun to talk about. And yeah, season two, definitely underrated when it comes to the story, but also when it comes to our boy Steve.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fun. Anything else that you noticed connection-wise or...
No, not really. I had to rewatch it because I took my notes like way in early November. I don't know. I had time on my hands. But I rewatched it yesterday and I was like, I forgot how like good of episodes these, like usually the last few episodes really kick it up a notch. But these last two especially, like they are magnificent. I can't wait to deep dive into the final episode, which I believe it's The Gate. That's what it's called.
Yeah, so we'll do that. We'll do that next week. We'll talk about The Gate, and then we'll be finished with season two, which is a long time coming. We made you wait a long time.
We did.
So sorry about that, but hopefully it was worth the wait.
As Dustin says, onward and upwards.
We don't really have any production updates.
No, because things are wrapped right now. Probably everything that's being done is being done in post. So nothing with filming updates because filming has wrapped.
Let's talk about merch. So I think that you said that you got a couple new fun things.
All right. I definitely did. So I actually, so the first thing that I got, thanks to my good friend, Mark, I got sent the Polly Pocket Stranger Things little like case. It was really adorable. I gotta be honest, I thought it was really cool that they did a collaboration with something so 80s, you know. I grew up in the 90s playing with them. I'm sure you did as well. I mean, this is back when they were like, we don't care that they're choking hazards, you know, screw it. And I used to own a ton of Polly Pockets, but it looked really cool, but it wasn't something I actively was going after. And then he ended up getting it for me, and I gotta be honest, it took me way too long to open up the box because like it's not even overly complicated. It's just like it was like I was solving a Rubik's cube because right away I took it out the actual structure because there's one side that's like regular world and then the other side it's upside down world and there's this like what looks like the blackboard and it's like made out of silicone so you can like stick the Demogorgon through it. It's kind of cool. And I'm like, well, where are all the little people? And I'm like looking and I'm like, did they not come with it? What happened? And then I shake the cardboard box that I thought I got everything out of. It was in this like hidden compartment in the box. Girl, if this was like, if there was a bomb set to go off, I would have been dead. So, but still,
yeah.
Love the detail. There's like little Eggos and the bikes and you get the original boys in it plus Elle with the removable little wig. Really cute. So I got that. But what I really loved that I got was from this company called Cinema Replicas Official. And you can get a Steve or Robin water bottle with like their heads on it. That sounds kind of morbid, but no, it almost looks like the Itty Boomer Bluetooth speaker heads. And I got the Steve so far. I'm going to end up getting the Robin. And it's a good size water bottle, but it's styled of them from Scoops Ahoy.
Yeah, it's really cute.
it's heavy duty. And I was like, I'm going to be so hydrated this summer. So yeah, those were the two things that I got that are Stranger Things themed.
Yeah, I have not been on Amazon in a while. And like, it looks like that brand has like a decent amount of cool Stranger Things stuff on Amazon right now.
A lot of Scoops Ahoy stuff. Like they have if you are ever holding like a watch party or a birthday party or something, like those, and they're reasonable price too. They'll sell like Scoops Ahoy paper cups.
I saw those. Yeah.
Super cute.
Yeah. And I do have the Polly Pocket also, but I have not opened it. It's still just in the box. So
guess what? There's a hidden secret compartment. Yeah. Don't be fooled.
I know now when I eventually maybe open it. But my coworker the other day, I guess it was like a late Christmas gift, but she said that she and her daughter were at the store and saw it and thought of me. She gave me the Hellfire Little People set.
I love that so much.
It's so cute. So that was really sweet. And that just like made my day. Also, the other thing I got recently, which is not Stranger Things themed, but it was really funny because you sent me the link for this. It was a shirt from Now and Then. And
yes,
I was like, immediately add to cart. So that just came too. It's really cool. It has like the outline kind of like, it's like the girls, but it's sort of like kind of artistic the way the four girls are. And pretty sure it says like all for one and one for all or whatever. Aww. So it's cute. I'm excited to wear that. It'll be more of like a summer thing, but yeah, that was fun. I don't know how long this is going to be running, but I also meant to tell you that I'm wearing my Beyond Epic.
Love it.
The Shire's Burning, Eddie the Banished, like one of my favorite sweatshirts. But Emma was doing a kind of like retirement sale for some of her designs.
Oh, cool.
And everything was like 35% off.
Oh, that's good.
I just wanted to mention it if it's still going on Friday. I'm not sure it will be, but this design is on. She's retiring it. She had another like Scoops Ahoy Steve Harrington design.
Oh, cute.
A couple other Stranger Things ones, a bunch of Hellfire stuff, and one like really cute Steve Harrington design that I already ordered that is coming, that's like going to be really cute for Valentine's Day. So I hope I get it in time.
Ooh.
That all that stuff, she's kind of retiring those designs for now. And so it's 35% off on her website. So
good to know.
If anybody wants to check that out. So yeah, that was pretty cool. So that's pretty much it for our episode today. We had a blast talking about season 2, episode 8, The Mind Flayer. And next week, we will be talking about the next and final episode of season 2, The Gates. So please join us for that. You can also find us on social media at Skull Rock Broadcast. Stacy is at Stay Still Reviews on Instagram, and I'm at Steady Stories. So come chat with us. We love new friends and just talking about the show. And also make sure you check out our Patreon, which is also patreon.com/skullrockbroadcast. So we've got bonus episodes, exclusive bonus content, and like just some perks. Like last week's episode I released early for Patreon members. So yeah, check us out over there. We would love and appreciate your support. We also are doing monthly giveaways.
We are.
And yeah, we're almost done with season 2 of our show, of our podcast, and season 2 of Stranger Things. So we will let you know what you can look forward to soon for our season 3.
Can't wait.
All right, over and out.
Over and out, guys.
I'm not sure why I love the idea of you driving.
Oh, I'm starting to suffer. Harrington's got her. Don't you, big boy?
All right. We are back. We're back. For our secret steady segment. And
ready on.
If you don't know, for some reason, this is our little fan fiction segment. So if fan fiction is not your thing, get out of here. But
get out of here.
If you would like to hear about what we've been reading, feel free to hang out. And yeah, have you been reading any fun fics this week, Stace?
Well, I have been fighting for my life to breathe out of both sides of my nose. So unfortunately, I haven't. I've been sleeping mostly. But I actually remembered this. It was recommended to me a while ago. And I remember when I first started it, I even discussed it with you. And I was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about this just because of the content. And then I thought it was going in a completely different direction. And luckily, it took a left-hand turn. But there are a lot of trigger warnings. It is called Impressionable Young Minds by Eddie Wao. And it's basically, without giving too many spoilers away, it's about, there's no upside down, so it's a different universe. But Steve Harrington is kidnapped when he's like 10, 12 years old by this woman who clearly has some issues. And she wants to raise him as her own son. So that could be very, very triggering, guys. You know, it's basically about how he was kidnapped and held captive for X amount of years. There is some abuse in it, not sexual, but there is abuse of him being, you know, a minor. And it then cuts to him, and this isn't a spoiler, but cuts to him. He eventually does get out and he tries to lead a normal life, but due to his PTSD and his trauma, he has a very hard time kind of like breaking out of this bubble that he's made for himself. And he ends up finding a psychiatrist with Dr. Munson. And you learn that Dr. Munson also had a very messed up upbringing, you know, from his mom's, you know, addiction to his abusive father to going in foster care. So there is a lot of stuff with, you know, minors, nothing sexual, but just a lot of like, you know, triggering, traumatic, you know, things of their upbringing. But then it kind of shows that both of them are so messed up that they're almost perfect for each other, meeting each other at this state later on in their adult lives. It's 17 chapters. It's a long read. It can get very heavy at times. There were a few times I was going to stop it because I was like, this is getting kind of dark, you know, but I stuck through with it. I finished it last spring and I randomly found it again because I remembered this author writes a ton of steady stuff and it's beautifully written. They write trauma very, very well. And it is a survivor story. And, you know, when Eddie and him do get together, it is very spicy. It is a really great story between the two of them and stuff. But when you go into it, much like something like Prism, go in warned that it isn't this light and fluffy little fluff fic. But it was very, very well done. And I am glad I stuck it through. So definitely not for everybody, but I would recommend it.
Okay, yeah, it was giving me like Prism vibes when you were saying some of the stuff about their childhoods and stuff like that. So yeah, just make sure if you ever check out any of our recommendations that you read the tags, take breaks, don't read it if it's not resonating with you, for sure, protect yourself. But yeah, I have a couple of fun things that I read this week. So I have been actually working through the chapters of Prism that were released in the past couple of weeks. So I'm not finished and I think we do get another chapter very soon. But
can't wait.
Yeah. I also mentioned last week VIP or VIP July and they had done the junk journal, which I really liked, but they have another one called Blueberry Thumbs that I just laughed because you're allergic to blueberries. So
definitely,
you would like die like in this situation. But it was really hot and really cute. So that one was fun. Just a little one shot. There was another one that was like a mistaken identity, like miscommunication. But it was a modern AU and it's called I Couldn't See, in parentheses, You Were Always Right Beside Me by Ori Scribes. And it was delightful. It was rated teen. So it was like not explicit, not spicy, but like I just loved it so much. It was like Steve and Eddie are neighbors, but like they don't know that. like, well, they know that they're neighbors, obviously, but they don't like each other.
Then
also they both know Dustin, but like they don't know that they both know Dustin. And then Dustin goes away to college and he gets Steve to play World of Warcraft online. And so he kind of tries to like play a little bit on his own before playing with Dustin in the party, because he doesn't want them to like, he doesn't want to be embarrassed because he doesn't know how to play.
Yeah.
And so he meets this character and this person that he starts playing the game with. So, I mean, I think you can kind of see where that's going.
Oh man, I can't wait to read that one.
Yeah, it's so fun and just delightful. So then I just started last night and I was just like, this was just delightful. I don't know what it was. I was like laughing out loud in the first chapter, and you're going to love it because there's like sex toys involved.
Oh,
but like,
well, hell yeah. Shoot all aboard.
It's another modern AU. And Steve is a college baseball player, which,
oh shit,
there's
okay.
baseball player in Junk Journal too. So, and then I had actually seen it before you sent it to me, but I think Gemma Draws posted that whip, like work in progress,
woo!
Of Steve as a baseball player. So now I just need all of the Steve as a baseball player content. And when that like print is, when that like art is finished,
oh,
I'm
buying
definitely
immediately.
Getting
yeah.
like the biggest print possible of that.
Amen.
Because
yep.
It's fantastic. It's like Steve as a baseball player, but like from behind, and he's like looking over
that's
his shoulder.
Sensational.
Oh my gosh, I loved it so much. But I'm in like chapter 2 of 4 or 2 of 5 of, so I'm like, it's a quick read. I'm probably gonna finish it today, but it's called Slipped Between These Ribs of Mine by Through Eden. So really enjoying that. And I just feel like I'm in a little bit of like a modern AU mood lately.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my reads this week.
I love that I'm writing this down because I'm like, that might make me feel better.
I can send you both of those like right
please?
Now.
Yes.
You need to read both of those like immediately.
Yeah, I need to be drinking a hot toddy and getting my baseball Steve on. So please send them away.
I have been working on some podfix, which is exciting.
Oh,
so I did a little like podfic event that I had done at the beginning of the year last year. And actually, finally, a couple of the fics that I worked on in May, I finally posted. So there's one that I had worked on with like a team of people called Hello from the Other Side. And it's a really fun story, and we had like a whole cast of like voices. So,
oh, that's cool.
But it was a friend of mine, Patient Anxiety, wrote the story, and it was all dialogue of like Steve trapped in the Upside Down, and he's calling, and he actually gets through to Eddie. So they start this kind of like relationship talking on the phone, and then it kind of goes on from there. But like, it's a really, really sweet story. And I did all of the editing to like put it all
was
together.
It the other way around? Eddie stuck in the Upside Down?
No.
Really?
So it's like Eddie was not involved in season 4. I think it's kind of like either post-season 3, post-season 4. It's kind of ambiguous of like when it happens. It's like a canon divergence, but like,
yeah.
So Eddie doesn't know about anything. He just has this mysterious person calling his trailer. And then at some point, like, it all comes to a head and like they have to try to rescue him or whatever.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a cool story. And it's like basically all told through just like phone conversations. So
I like
cute.
That.
And then I had mentioned this like back in like May or June, but we did it's 3 minutes. It's called Reckless Driving. It was a fic that I found and I wanted to make a podfic of it. So I got like the voices, but it's the really cute, like it's the RV scene, but like Steve and Eddie are already boyfriends in it. So
adorable.
But I like did some cool like soundscaping and like used the audio from the actual show during
that
scene.
That's awesome.
So that was fun. So I was excited that I finally got those two fics posted. And then I was involved in a couple of projects. One of them was really cute. It was called A Family Thing, and it was a sweet little story of like Steve and Eddie are at the trailer with Wayne, and it's like Wayne's POV, and Eddie like wakes everybody up in the morning trying to make breakfast for Wayne, but he's like injured still, so he's like making a big mess, and then
of course
you find out that like there's a reason he was trying to make Wayne breakfast, and like it's really sweet, like because of, like, Wayne kind of like accepting Steve into the family. So that's another like multi-voice podfic that I did. But then I also like kind of just went back to some of the stuff. I have a bunch of things that I've like recorded but just never edited and posted. So I'm sort of trying to work on some of my like backlog of that stuff, including Take the Money and Run. I haven't actually started working on it, but like I have chapter 7 that I recorded.
These boys
at some
have
point.
Been stranded in some random state. We have to rescue them.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to get back on that, because I do have some stuff that I've actually recorded already and never like we never have talked about or put out there. So I want to get back to that.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. Resolution.
Just everybody hope that I stay in this little like productive state that I've been in.
I
at
love
least
it.
Until I get really busy in March, because we have a lot going on in March, but
we do.
Yeah, so that's my little podfic update too. So.
I love that.
Yeah, and it's been cool because I am using a new editing program for the podcast, and being able to edit the podfics has also given me good practice for like editing the podcast and getting faster with editing
the podcast,
which is nice. So that's been cool. Yeah.
Love that. The best.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Until then, peace.